Our scripture reading today comes from the letter to Paul, letter from Paul to the Ephesian church, chapter 2, and invite you to read that for us.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you were used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
We've spent the Advent season exploring the redemption of Scrooge. And by the end of the story by Charles Dickens, Scrooge is a changed man. His redemption is complete. When Scrooge wakes up on Christmas morning, after he spent the night traipsing around with ghosts into his past, into the present, and into the future, he jumps out of bed as light as a feather and as giddy as a schoolboy. Scrooge ran to the window and threw it open and looked out. He saw a boy passing, in the story and in the movies, he sees a boy passing on the street below, and he said, "Boy, is it still Christmas? Did I miss it?" The nighttime ghost's visits showed Scrooge how selfish he had become, and how he had once been this gentle, sweet man. And he had let life get in the way, he had let selfishness and money get in the way. And the ghosts made it clear to Scrooge that if he did not change his selfish ways, his life and the fate actually of others would be dire. For Scrooge, it's a message of turning from love of money to love of people, and not really written in there, but maybe love of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ offers us much the same message, only the message that the Lord offers is a real story and not just a fictional story like a Christmas carol. Here again, the verse that was just read in verse 3 in Ephesians 2, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were deserving of wrath. That was kind of Scrooge's fate, deserving of the wrath that he would experience when he was no longer alive. We're a little bit different than Scrooge. We don't need to be visited by ghosts in the night in order to change our ways. We must simply let Christ into our hearts. Ephesians 2 is very clear on that. It says, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, even when we were dead in the sins that kind of bound us up in the selfishness. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And it's not our own doing, it's a gift from God, for we are God's handiwork. Each of us, God's handiwork, created by God for good works on this earth. It is by grace that we are saved from the power of sin. Our job is to accept the gift and allow Christ to redeem our lives. as Scrooge's life was redeemed. It's different because Christ redeems us in a much more powerful way. But our job is to respond to the gift. You see, going back to Scrooge, he could have chosen to ignore the warnings of the ghosts. He could have chosen to not be moved by a look at his past and the people in his present. But instead, he chose to respond. He chose to make a change in his life that would impact his life for eternity, and it would impact the lives of people that he was in contact with. He would be redeemed, and he would be transformed. Today, Christmas Day, how are you responding to the gift of Jesus? Are you asking yourself, is it still Christmas? It's a valid question. Might even be a loaded question. If you opened your presents last night or already early this morning, does it still feel like Christmas today now that presents are opened? Or is there kind of a letdown feeling? If you were not able to be with family today, I know that's the case for some, are you feeling the loss? Does it feel like just another Sunday for you? If you experienced grief and loss in these last year or two, maybe the Christmas season has not been jolly for you. Maybe it doesn't even really feel like it's been Christmas at all. If your family is divided by divorce, and maybe it's an off year for spending time with children or family, I'm thinking it doesn't feel like Christmas at all. That all hurts. It all leaves us feeling somewhat empty. And maybe sorrow is dominating your day. Yet I'm here to tell you, there is nothing that we can experience in our relationships, nothing that we can buy, nothing that we can eat or unwrap that will have any bearing on whether today is Christmas or not. That first Christmas was no picnic for Mary. They were far away from home, traveling when she was in her last month of pregnancy and had to give birth in a barn. That's no picnic. And there probably was very little reason to rejoice in that dark night in the humble dwellings of the barn. And yet, shepherds out in the fields were visited by angels and said, "There's something to rejoice tonight. Our Savior has been born." And so to answer the question, is it still Christmas? The answer is a resounding yes. We celebrate the birthday of our Savior today. We celebrate the bringer of life and the bringer of light to those living in darkness. Jesus is the one who helps us experience joy even when our relationships are broken, even when we struggle financially, and even when we're experiencing ill health. Jesus gives us the gift of peace, even when we find that our relationships are divided and there are struggles with the people that we love. And most important, Jesus brings eternal life. Jesus brings God's kingdom into our midst, into this place where we live each day of our lives. And we can embrace it as a follower of Jesus Christ. You might be thinking back to your to-do list, and you might be thinking, oh, there were still some things that didn't get crossed off. If you're a list maker, I am, by the way, you may still have things that didn't get crossed off. So maybe you didn't create the perfect Christmas. Maybe you didn't celebrate with the right people or open the right gifts or adorn your home with the right decorations. I'm here to tell you that none of that matters. The thing about Christmas is Jesus. That's the gift that matters. That's God's gift to us today, Christmas Day. In verse 8 in our scripture is the tenets of our faith, what we cling to when all seems lost. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God." My friends, I invite you to unwrap and accept the greatest Christmas gift that there is. It is the gift of grace. It is the gift of salvation. It is the gift of eternal life. Joy comes to those who know Jesus and allow Jesus to dwell in your hearts. Allow Jesus to help you act in kindness and love and humility towards others. God holds each of us today, and God wants us to hold the gift that is Jesus. In the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it has John of Patmos has this to say: "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come." Jesus is our past, our present, and our future. Merry Christmas. Christ is born and lives and will live in our hearts forever. Amen.